We would like to acknowledge that the land on which CITR operates and broadcast, and where many of you are listening to the program from, is the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people.
Hello and welcome to That Song from That Movie. I'm Movie Maverick Mike.
And I'm Logan the Extra. And you're listening to 101.9 CITR FM Vancouver. Today we're going to discuss The Batman, and more specifically, Something in the Way by Nirvana.
In case you haven't been into the movies in the last 60 years, there's this superhero who doesn't really have any superpowers called Batman. Lives in a mansion and fights crime and beats up on people. Sometimes he's a detective, sometimes he's a cartoon, sometimes he's battling aliens with Superman and Wonder Woman and other actually enhanced people. But in this iteration for the movie we're going to talk about, Robert Pattinson is a sort of a gritty emo Batman. But this is a great movie and it's a very immersive cinematic experience.
Are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR and Discorder.
You're listening to Movie Maverick Mike and Logan the Extra on CITR 101.9 Vancouver UBC. So I want to talk about the movie first off. This is, like I said, a very immersive experience. This is a serious, heavy movie. It's 3 hours long. The first thing to mention about this, for those who haven't seen it. So if you're going to sit down and go through it, you're going to need to spend some time. And it's, you can tell that Warner Brothers and DC, who own the rights to this character, and director Matt Reeves, said, let's make a different Batman movie. We've had the slam bang Batman. We've had the cartoony Batman. We've had Ben Affleck trying to jam into the DC multi-universe. This is a heavy, slow-moving, what's the word I want, luxuriating kind of movie. The cinematography is great. It's kind of dreary, and that will lead to the song a little bit. So,
definitely. This movie is a bit of a move away from other comic book movies that we've been seeing recently, particularly Marvel movies. They're a lot about action sequences and comedy and wit and just about being, you know, kind of dopamine producing entertainment the whole way through. But this one, they slow it down. They make it really classy filmmaking. There's still some action. There's still a bit of wit, but it's really an emotional movie. And a lot of the choices they make are trying to get this dark, dreary emotion kind of going.
Yeah, it's still an exciting movie. It's still thrilling. I think, what was I going to say? Was it the way it flows is kind of a slow burn to it. And for those who are worried about Robert Pattinson, like many people were, that he couldn't necessarily pick up the baton here, it's definitely, he does well enough, don't you think?
This is one of the things I was kind of surprised about going into the movie, was how much I liked his performance. I mean, hearing him announced as the new Batman, I was a bit worried that, you know, a sparkly vampire was going to be some the next Bruce Wayne. But he did really well. He really sold it as Batman, and also a really serious Batman, too. You'd expect him to maybe be more of a fun-loving or playboy Batman, but no, he really gets the grit of it and, you know, the tragedy of what happened. That's a big part of this movie.
So the cinematography is solid. The use of light is great in this movie. It has the same cinematographer who did Rogue One, which is actually, I was thinking back too, that Star Wars Rogue One was actually, light was a big character in the movie too. Some of the attack scenes, they did it in the rain. Some of the light became a character, and the way that scenes were laid out was part of it.
But this movie also had a lot of playing around with light. There is a criticism to be thrown at it, that's that it's a really dark movie. You know, if you're trying to watch this on your phone while you're like
in a bus or something. It's gonna be a big screen.
Welcome to the new world, buddy. But no, this is something that it would be really good to go to theaters to see, although it's no longer in theaters. You missed your chance. But if you did see it, you'll know that's a really good atmosphere for it.
Yeah, and I think it has a certain feel to it. Like, I think the previous iterations of Batman were about framing the action. And how do we look at Batman's beating this guy and Superman's doing this and look at that big CGI monster. And I'm sure there's some CGI in this one. We'll certainly, that'll be a recurring theme for us to talk about that. But I think too that I'll come to the introduction of the song. But there's a part of the movie. Sometimes there's different parts of the movie where you're like, why are we watching this? Why are we focusing on that? And it makes you kind of pay attention, almost like. It's a bit like a whodunit, that you sometimes you're like, okay, why is he holding that way? Why are we focusing on this clue? I mean, because there's a detective aspect to it.
Yeah, this is something that they kind of did, which is not necessarily a deviation from the normal Batman formula, but they really emphasized it is the detective aspect of Batman's work. In fact, this is primarily a detective movie, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And it's got, it still has him beating up people, but they really wanted to...
That's the important part of Batman.
Yeah, I mean, it
has to be broken something.
It kind of is. This detective element is really strong, and it's almost the whole movie is going between people and who did this, how do we know about this? But surprisingly, if you described, 3 hours of going around and trying to figure out who's the next clue, I think you'd be bored and maybe lose track of it. But no, this one, it keeps your attention and it's pretty easy to follow.
Yeah, I mean, it has a car chase, which is actually pretty cool. And it has, gunplay and stuff like that. But the one thing I wanted to note at the beginning of the movie, I rewatched it recently, and there's a part at the beginning of the movie where we've already established the characters. And I'm not sure if it's Commissioner Gordon, but the policeman who's helping the Batman is walking through the crime scene, and the camera follows behind the policeman, and everybody, all the other policemen, as we're walking into this crime scene, they're turning and looking at the camera, and they're all looking at the camera, shocked. So as an audience member, you're like, why are you looking at me? What is going on? And it takes a while to realize they're all looking at him, the Batman, and then it goes on for maybe a minute before the camera turns, and we see they're looking at Robert Pattinson is a Batman. So it's a good moment, a great moment of framing, blocking, cinematography, where you, the audience, kind of become Batman and you feel that, ostracized yeah. By everybody's like, why is he here? What are you doing here? And we kind of go in his shoes a little bit there.
If to start getting into some of the themes of this movie, loneliness is a big part of it. I mean, Batman is, he usually has people like Robin and his butler, who I can't remember the name of.
Alfred,
of course.
Yeah.
That help him along, but he's supposed to be a pretty solitary character, and this movie really emphasizes that.
So that's a great segue to what let me introduce the song, is that so Matt Reeves, the director, he wrote the screenplay. He said while he was writing the movie, he wanted to focus on a Batman who was reclusive. What did you say? Didn't have a lot of friends and.
Yeah, I guess I was gonna say like a bat, but. They live.
Yeah, sure, that works.
In movies, they always come out in flocks. I don't know about the actual.
So it makes the movie more thematic, because other than a voiceover, we don't really have him talking to people a lot. But again, Matt Reeves was inspired by this Nirvana song.
Fish, 'cause they don't have any feet.
You're listening to That Song from That Movie on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. So you just heard Something in the Way by Nirvana, and I'll talk a bit about the scene where it plays. It actually plays two times in the movie, but the first time is when he's leaving the initial crime scene, and it's supposed to show that he's solitary. He's got a dark life. He just had a meaningful look to the child of the man who got killed. And of course, he can empathize with that, being an orphan.
For those of you who don't know the story, Batman yeah. is an orphan. Just in case you haven't seen a movie in the last 60 years, like we said.
And so this song kicks in, and he has a voiceover while the song's playing, but they still let the song shine through a lot. There's not too much happening on screen. And this is where you really feel the emotion and kind of the sullenness of the song. It's kind of dragging along, it's dark, and that's how we're feeling in the plot right now. There's no, you know, there's no celebration in this song.
So that's a good point. So I think this one of the reasons why we picked this song for this movie, I've been changing my terms there, is because what you said about sullen, like we're seeing a sullen Batman character, a sullen hero, a reclusive hero, so which is different. And I think that this song really fits the movie, the mood of the movie, right?
Yeah, a lot of superhero movies, you walk away from it and you're like, yeah, we got the bad guys, we saved the world, everything's great now. But if you walked away from this movie thinking that, I don't know if that's what Matt Reeves and the others were trying to convey. I mean, this song also ends the movie, and you'd think, you know, why is that thematically? Shouldn't you move on from it? And there is some growth for Batman's character, but at the same time, it's supposed to show at the end of the movie, we didn't really win. You know, Batman
spoiler
changed.
Alert here,
yeah, spoiler alert. There's still a lot of people in trouble. I mean, the bad guys are either locked up or dead, but crime is still prolific in Gotham. So this is what this song is kind of about, is that it's supposed to be depressing and gritty, and the movie's supposed to be depressing and gritty, and it's not going to tell you that everything's okay. And
so let's come back to the song, because I want to make one more point there too. I'm a fan of Batman Forever, Val Kilmer, Tommy Lee Jones, Jim Carrey. We actually might talk about that in a future show, because there's a couple of interesting songs there.
Yeah.
And then after that one, the same director, I'll get it later on. They said to him, Batman Forever is a hit. Go and make Batman and Robin, which I didn't mind that movie. Once you go into the movie of Batman and Robin, George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you realize it's a cartoon brought to life, then it's you can tolerate it. So I think for this one, like you said, we're supposed to get into the pain of Batman and the characters and the city of Gotham by extension. And so this song kind of helps foster that, I think.
Yeah, and for anyone who's a Nirvana fan, you probably know some of the backstory to this song, or at least about Kurt Cobain and his tragic life. You know, this album, Nevermind, was what made them so popular, but only few years later, Kurt Cobain took his own life. So he's a tortured soul as well.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if I want to necessarily bookend it like that, right? Because I think when any artist has committed suicide like that, it tends to be the focus of their career, especially because it was 3 years from Nevermind to when Cobain committed suicide. So, but there was a lot of good stuff and popular and successful stuff in between, right?
I think that's true. And for a lot of artists, you look back on what they've done based on what you know now, and that's not necessarily, you can do that wrongly as well. But I mean, a lot of Nirvana songs are supposed to be, you know, earthy and sullen and depressing. This was something that was kind of a staple of the group, is that they weren't just talking about crazy, you know, the life of rock and roll or everything's great or anything.
Yeah, they had a bit of that. But so let me ask, so then are we supposed to connect the dots to say, here's an earthy, sullen Batman, here's this depressing song or low-key song, Something in the Way. Oh, by the way, it's Nirvana. Hey, wasn't that from the guy who killed himself? So do you think we're supposed to connect those dots when we have that song?
I don't think you have to connect Batman to Kurt Cobain's suicide, but it feels like it's hard to talk about a depressing Nirvana song without talking about Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I agreed.
And I mean, even this song, there's been some debate apparently whether the lyrics were literal about him actually living under a bridge. I think the conclusion was he was definitely homeless at some points. But it's, you know, so much of Kurt Cobain was in Nirvana, and this is such an important song for that movie that you don't necessarily have to make all those connections, but it's hard to draw a line where you should stop making those connections.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're the feeling this song is supposed to give you outside of your knowledge of the band and their history is part of the feeling you're supposed to pick up during the Batman, especially like you said at the beginning when there's a death and we're seeing a child who's suffering because of this death. And then it plays again in the third act.
Yeah, at the very end, again, spoilers, but if you stuck around this far, you should know that. So it's just after basically he saved the day. We weren't sure that he was going to survive. And actually, this is one of few superhero movies that when it looks like the superhero might die, I was wondering if that was actually going to happen, you know. Yeah. But so he's just saved the place, and then this song plays. So it's kind of supposed to show that not everything's okay, you know. In fact, things are kind of pretty bad. The city's flooded, you know, they're getting evacuated by helicopter, and there's almost a bit of hope to it at the end.
I think so, yeah. I like how we can talk about characters like the Riddler and Catwoman, because they're established in pop culture. I mean, it's like if we were talking about Iago or Shylock or Macduff or something like that, these minor characters, we all sort of assume that when we say the Riddler, everybody goes, oh, yeah, I know who that is, yeah.
Well, and I think they kind of tapped into it for this movie, is that you'd be hard-pressed to find someone where the Batman is the first time they've heard of Batman, right?
Yeah.
It's so popular.
Well, and then I was thinking, when I rewatched the movie, that Paul Dano plays the Riddler in a sort of nuclear plant gimp kind of mask and stuff like that. And then he introduces himself as a Riddler. And even if you hadn't seen the trailers, you know, you would, in modern pop culture, look and go, oh, yeah, the Riddler, that guy. I know what he's all about, because you have a sense of what the Riddler is. And then when Selina Kyle becomes Catwoman, we have this sort of a default idea what Catwoman is and about and what her traits are, what her behavior. So it's easier for the movie to just jump right in.
It was good that they could say, okay, you guys know who Batman is. We know who Batman is. Everyone knows who Batman is. We just got to get into the movie. And I think it really helped them do a different take on it.
for the best in funk, soul, surf, and more music. Tune in to Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 at CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Add us on Twitter at Jack Velvet Radio, Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show. Also available, streaming and podcast at jackvelvet.net.
You're listening to that song from that movie. I'm Movie Maverick Mike.
And I'm Logan the Extra. We're at CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. So, many of you might have listened to Something in the Way before this movie. I actually had not. I've listened to plenty of Nirvana stuff, especially from this album, Nevermind. It's, I believe, their most popular album.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And came out in 1992 and was an absolutely massive hit. It just created the band, basically. I mean, Nirvana is a pretty evergreen band. People still listen to them to this day. But this song certainly helped how popular they are right now. Spotify released a statistic that within a week of the movie releasing, the song got 1,200% more hits than it had before. And the rest of Nevermind, the album it's from, got a lot of listens too.
Yeah, so this song was never a single on the album. But like you said, I think it was released in the winter of 1991, and it became a hit in 92. But yeah, and it was a massive hit. So part of the appeal of this song is definitely discovering a hidden gem from Nirvana. Nirvana didn't make a lot of albums before Cobain's untimely demise. But I think that to be able to dig one out and give it new meaning was pretty cool.
Yeah, if they took something like Smells Like Teen Spirit or maybe Lithium, that it feels like it's been played, you know,
it wouldn't
times.
Resonate. That's a good point. Yeah, it would be as compelling.
But you want to talk a bit about the future of Batman.
Yeah, so this was a bit of a risk. I mean, I think the Batman was a pretty saturated character in the theaters. Warner Brothers obviously want to keep the franchise going and keep the IP alive. Handed over to director Matt Reeves, who, as we said, made this dark, painful version. Pain version, that might be better, yeah. Not painful for the audience. And it was a big hit. It wasn't Avengers hit, it wasn't Avatar hit, but it was big enough that it put a lot of power into the franchise.
Yeah, this kind of came off the back of the success of Joker, which was another movie that's, you know, meant to be taken seriously, and another character that we know really well and has been iterated in many silly versions, but that movie was highly serious. So this was was building off that.
Yeah. So I think it became a dilemma, or is a dilemma, for Warner Brothers, which owns the rights to the DC characters. And it's a good dilemma when you're, I think Joker made over $1 billion.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But I think what it has, it becomes an issue that you have, like we said, pained, dark Batman movie that did really well. A gritty Joker movie that wasn't comedic that did really well. And then you have the shared universe they're trying to build with Aquaman and Blue Beetle and
Green Lantern. They just released The Flash as well. There's these kind of multiverse building movies. It was good. It was good. Yeah.
But so the dilemma for Warner Brothers is, what movies do we need to, how do we keep this superhero thing going? And so if the solution is the Batman Part 2 is started filming, I mean, you can't have a movie make that much money and not consider it again. And because it has a niche, the type of movie it is, we keep saying that this gritty Batman, if you can recreate that, people might want to see that again. And then the Joker movie, is the next version of the Joker movie has Joaquin Phoenix, of course, and the main character Lady Gaga plays Harley Quinn.
Right.
Rumor has it it's a musical, and so go ahead.
And that justifies the cast of Lady Gaga to some extent, but I mean, thinking of like a musical Joker, it feels like there's a small chance it's gonna be an absolutely amazing movie, but a really big chance it's going to be a bad movie.
Well, I think I'm assuming what's going to happen in the first movie, again, spoiler alert, first Joker movie, the character was delusional and some things happened only in his mind. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happened, that people will break out into song And we're supposed to decide, did that really happen? Did people all start singing and dancing, or was this a separate thing? But yeah.
To talk more on what you were saying of the different directions, I think they're kind of struggling because to compare them a bit to Marvel, who's been a lot more successful in the movies, they've got kind of their main series with, you know, Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman, Jason Momoa's Aquaman.
Sorry, who was Wonder Woman? Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. Yeah. That series is more kind of the traditional superhero movie and a lot like what Marvel's doing, even to the point where they're trying to build up this multiverse. And that's a tried and true strategy since Marvel is, you know, one of the most profitable IPs ever now. But that's kind of falling off. We've seen this both from Marvel and DC, where we talked about for a second The Flash. I thought it was a good movie. But it didn't get much commercial success. Whereas now these kind of gritty, dark movies are getting the commercial success. So they've kind of got to choose. Do we want to try this tried and true thing, or do we want to push these more serious movies and try and show that it's not a fluke?
So I think that's going to go the way of the serious movies. It's going to be one-offs. If your one-off movie can make $700 billion, you don't really care how much they tie in. And if, by the way, they sell some toys and whatnot. But just actually, this, I don't know if this will qualify as a wrap-up, but that reminded me of why we picked this song for this movie. Is I can't think of any other DC movie that can be focused, not summarized, but you can think of a song in a movie like Something in the Way. Like that really represents the movie, some of the themes, the major themes as we discussed. But I can't think of, there's no Wonder Woman song, there's no Aquaman song.
Well, I'll speak to Wonder Woman a bit. This isn't as much a song, but her theme I think is quite striking, and that's kind of defines some of that movie and her character. And also the Justice League, I don't know if this is just me, but I always think of that Come Together song.
Oh yeah.
But none of them
focus on that later on too, yeah.
None of them really, like you said, encapsulate and define the movie as much as Something in the Way does for
so that
the Batman.
Maybe that's something that next time we talk to the executives of Warner Brothers, we'll say to them, okay, when you make the next Batman movie or the next Joker movie or whatever character, what's the song? What's the theme going to be like? Is it going to be a fun theme? Is it going to be a Foo Fighters song? Is it going to be a Ed Sheeran song? You know, that's going to encapsulate it.
Yeah, if any of you get an interview with Matt Reeves, ask him what he's listening to for the next movie. Because
yeah.
If he's listening to, Dance the Night Away by Dua Lipa, then we can expect something pretty different, I think.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Something a little happier. If he's listening to a really happy pop song, or I was going to say...
Walking on Sunshine or something like that.
Yeah, we're really in trouble. The next Batman movie will be set to Katrina and the Waves Walking on Sunshine.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or Grocery Checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today.
Thank you for listening to that song from that movie. You can find me on Facebook or Instagram as Movie Maverick Mike.
And you can find this podcast, this episode, and all our other episodes as podcasts on CITR.ca. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you later.